Trees can't speak, but John Eisenhower speaks their language. Talking Trees with Rosie on the House.
Pick up a couple stitches on two of those other points.
Okay. We got a good line of calls, emails, questions for our certified arborist, John Eisenhower. But before we get there, let's talk through a couple more of these bullet points on our February Talking Tree to-dos here.
Well, with reference to the frost danger, I just wanted to let everyone know that there's a link connected to it's on our website, the tree calendar, that tells you when the average last day of frost is in your specific area. You might want to just mark it on your calendar, but you can get to it on our tree calendar at itreeservice.com and go to the February tree calendar, and there's a link there that and it'll bring you to a website, the U of A Extension website, and it will tell you your specific part of town. Because that last average last day of frost varies all the way from February, I think about 6th, all the way to almost the end of March. So depending on what part of town you're in, that is a bit of a sliding scale. We always talk about February 15th as the average last day of frost. But if your area is especially cold, you want to be careful that you're not starting your pruning too early when there could be a risk of a later frost. So go to that website. Be sure you know if your average last day of frost is March 23rd, you want to kind of target that for the time to get out your pruners and start doing that heavier pruning of your trees and shrubs. Also, we talked about there's a link to on the tree calendar for some of those shrubs that you want to cut back a little more heavily this time of year, and you're not sure, hey, can I cut that one all the way back to the ground? Should I leave that one a little bit taller because it can't handle that radical pruning? There's another article on our website called Salvaging Sheared Shrubs, and it tells you how much pruning you can do on your specific shrubs. You can just look up the shrub you have in your yard, and it will give you some recommendations for that spring pruning. Because there are some shrubs like your fairy dusters, your bird of paradise, your oleanders, your lantana, that can just be cut literally to the ground if they get frost damaged. Other ones you have to be a little more careful. Your sage, your leucophyllum, your cassias even. You don't want to cut those back all the way to the ground. They may not survive that kind of heavy radical pruning. But this article will kind of give you some guidance. Again, it's on our website, itreeservice.com. And look up the February tree calendar, and you'll see the link there to that article.
Well, do you want to go through a few points, or you want to take a call?
Call if one's hanging there. That'd be great.
Well, Bob's been hanging on for a while. Wants to talk about his mulberry tree in Tucson. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, good morning. I'm wondering if I should trim my mulberry tree. It's about 20 feet tall now, and it's got pretty thin branches. They're probably the top ones are about 9/16, but the big branches are about, some are 2, some are 3 inches across. And the crotch of this mulberry tree is only about 3 feet off the ground. Mm-hmm. Someday it'll make a good tree house for my grandson.
You could do that one day.
That's one of the lowest crotches I've seen in a mulberry tree, but I get really good fruit on it in the springtime. But should I trim this tree?
You know, it's like a growing teenager right now. That size tree is going to be a bit rangy and wild, and it's going to be putting on a lot of vegetative growth. Yeah, you can cut it back. Just be sure that you're making good crown reduction pruning cuts, because they can be, like I said, be a little bit rangy. Those top branches will grow long and thin and wispy. You can kind of be pulling those back in just to make the tree a more uniform size. And at this stage of its growth, you know, you can do that pretty aggressively if you're trying to just contain some of that size. But yeah, make sure you're making good pruning cuts. Get advice from a local certified arborist if you need some help on where to make those pruning cuts. And speaking of which, there are some pruning classes coming up in the Phoenix area. I'm teaching a couple classes at the Desert Botanical Garden, one on Sunday, April 8th, and one on Saturday, May 12th. You can get on the Desert Botanical Garden website and look those classes up if you want to come and find out how to prune your trees and shrubs. Those will be a couple of classes coming up in the next couple of months. The website there is dbg.org, and that'll get you onto their website. Look up their classes.
You had started going into olive spraying.
Yeah, we've got olives. If you still have olives that need spraying to prevent the fruiting, there's still time to get on our calendar for that. Be sure to call as soon as possible because we've already begun our spraying and there's kind of a window of opportunity to spray those. So get on the phone and get in our rotation so we can be sure to include you in the next couple of weeks.
You had get sent a bulletin out from your plant health care department on ficus trees and the white flies last week. I got it sitting here.
Yeah, due to our mild winter weather, a lot of insects have overwintered and they are causing some problems in our landscapes. You might have noticed some clouds of little white insects that are flying around some of your plants. If you have some of those, they're likely white flies. White flies can infest various plants across the valley, including some agricultural crops. But in our residential neighborhoods and businesses, they particularly target our ficus trees, including our fig vines. So be sure that if you've got some ficus trees, you might want to think about watching them. You can just go up to one of the branches on the tree and shake it. And if you've got white flies in your ficus trees, they'll be flying. As soon as you shake those branches, you'll be able to see them. There's also some preventive measures you can take to spray them rather than waiting for an infestation. It might be a good idea to consider having them sprayed annually. It's a pretty simple process and kind of keeps those ficus trees looking good. Sometimes by the time we have customers calling us, their ficus trees have already defoliated or started to discolor. They're getting a lot of leaf drop. And sometimes we're chasing that issue. Sometimes it's good to get out in front of it with a proactive treatment.
Now, we had an email come in earlier from a gentleman that wanted a little help with some plant identification. And you can see where one of the branches off of it has torn down and there's some rot in there. And he's asking, it's by a pool and it's extremely messy. So he's wondering if this is I think he's looking for an excuse to cut it down is basically what he's looking for. See, doesn't this look bad? This is about to fall, right? I need to cut this down for the pool.
Well, and I give him my full permission to take down that tree because it's an African sumac and they are one of the dirtiest trees. They're wonderful trees if you have the room for them, but they do seem to drop leaves year round and not just a few. They just continually produce a lot of fruit. Then they have the little the pollen emerges and then the little seeds and then those little round seeds drop out of the trees. Then the birds take the seeds and drop them into other places in your yard and you've got sumacs.
You're selling this tree.
Sumacs growing up all over the place. Well, as I said, if you've got the room for them, they're a pretty nice tree. I like them. They're evergreen. They've got a nice contrasting bark and leaf color. I like them, but you have to have room for them. If it's near a pool and you've already got a strike against it, you might want to seriously consider taking a tree out. We always say that a tree, trees have a reason and a season. And sometimes that reason and season expire. And if you've got a plant in a location where it has achieved its landscape purpose and then exceeded its landscape purpose, you might want to think about taking that tree out, replacing it with a more appropriate tree and enjoy that younger tree as it grows up and provides the benefits that would be better for that location.
And then another, Gloria sent in a picture of two date palms, one of them standing upright and the other one's leaning, and they actually have a 2x4 propped up on it to try and keep it upright. Wants to know what could be causing this. Is it worth saving it?
Yeah, and I saw the picture, and it looks like they were planted a little too close together. The spread of a typical Phoenix canariensis or Phoenix dactylifera or a canariensis, they are so broad. They can be 30 feet across. The fronds on each going in each direction can be over 15 feet wide. So you need to be on at least a 30-foot planting centers in order to give those trees the ability to put out the fronds to the sides without interfering with the plants next to them. It looks like she's on about a 20-foot planting center, and those trees are getting crowded. And the smaller one is actually growing away from the other one for available sunlight. and that will probably continue. I would just recommend she leave, allow that to happen, and that tree will eventually, when it gets up into its own space, it'll move over basically 5 or 10 feet as it heads, as it gets taller. It's now 20 feet tall, but it'll head up, you know, on an angle for ways, and once it gets clear enough, it'll start growing vertically again. And then they'll grow up parallel together for the next 20 years.
And then everyone will be like, that's such a cool day palm. How do you do that?
People do that. They plant these palm trees on their sides going on different angles. And then, as you see, they start to grow vertically after that.
Let's see. This is David wants to know what to do about a lemon tree where the top branches look dead and have lost most of their leaves. Is that just... I don't think we got the frost this
summer,
and he say he's in Peoria. Yeah, that's not a frost problem.
Well, we have an annual leaf turnover with citrus. You know, they're dropping leaves and putting on leaves, you know, throughout the year. But we have a kind of a seasonal time where there's one time of year when certain trees will drop more of their leaves, and it's kind of a rejuvenation. And that's often the case with lemons. Lemons can be interesting that way. We've seen them defoliate for various reasons. It could be a watering issue. But I wouldn't be too concerned at this time of year. If it were happening in May or June, you'd have some real risk of sun damage. But I think if you just are patient, it should refoliate here pretty soon in the next month or two. If you're concerned in another month that it hasn't really done what you want, and getting nice and full again, you might want to give an arborist a call to come out and take a look at it.
The branches that look dead, you can go out and prune them, cut them,
scratch them. If they're actually dead, sometimes those branches will defoliate on the lemons, but yet the twigs that are supporting the leaves are still flexible. Yeah, and you need to just check. If they are truly dead, then you could just tip those back, prune them back to live wood, and you know, let the tree grow from that point. But yeah, you can... definitely take that dead wood out of your citrus at any time, and dead branch tips for sure.
Our tree of the month, you brought us the Texas Mountain Laurel, and a texter wanted to know, how long should it take to bloom? It's been several years since they've planted theirs, and they have yet to get a bloom.
Yeah, again, as we've mentioned in the past, a bloom is a heavy energy drain on a plant. Sometimes our trees can be kind of sporadic bloomers. They'll only bloom when there's enough energy reserves to support it. So be patient. Sometimes some of those flowering trees and shrubs need just the optimum conditions to be able to put on some flower.
We appreciate the text. And one more about the Texas Mountain Laurel. One says, how do I take care of caterpillars that like to eat Texas Mountain Laurel?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because they are prone to getting some caterpillars. It's not one of those problems that I would say is a deal breaker. I think they're really good, and they'll. You can spray them, and proactively once every spring.
It's Rosie on the House with you every Saturday morning, and you can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-Rosie for you. We just burned through a number of text questions there at 411-923, and the email's info@rosieonthehouse.com. Where those pictures were sent. We try and have every form of communication possible here. The lines have just loaded up, so we'll come back and go through a couple more calls and then get to our last couple points here on the Talking Trees calendar.